Hello, faithful men. Well, I'm excited to be with you today, and I'm really excited that you've been a part of this journey. We're entering the end of 1 Samuel. We've only got three more chapters to go, and so it's going to be strange to be done with this, but hopefully we'll have something coming up in the near future. But today I want to spend some time talking about 1 Samuel chapter 29, and we're towards the end, as I said, of 1 Samuel, but we're also towards the end of David being on the run from Saul. And during this time, specifically in chapter 29, we're faced with David finding refuge in the land of his enemy, the Philistines. And if you remember, the Philistines were the same ones that David killed their leader Goliath in the very beginning of his ministry. And now, towards the midway through his ministry, he is now right here back in the arms of his enemy, the Philistines. And what happens in this story is really intriguing, because he has this conversation with the leader of the Philistines, as you read, and the king of the Philistines, or the leader of the Philistines, makes a statement and tells David that he will take him on to fight in his army. And I find that fascinating. In fact, if you look at over the last three chapters or so, we've seen very little mention of David as king. Let's not forget that David was anointed as king. And he's been on the run from Saul, and he's been lying, and he's been caught in deception and doing all these things that have not been king-like. And here we have an instance where David seems to be completely satisfied with returning to the comfort of being a warrior. And why does he return to that? Because, well, he doesn't really know how to be king. And he's not really acted like a king. And so he's not embraced fully the anointing that God has on his life to be king. In fact, he's embraced continuing to be a warrior. I wonder if that resonates with you like it resonates with me. It makes me think, man, have I fully taken grasp of the anointing God has placed on my life when it comes to being a husband or a father or a leader in my community or a minister of the gospel? Do I fully embrace that, or do I find myself retreating back to those things that I find comfort in, or those things that I think I'm really good at? I think there's a lot of men that I know that feel like they're not very good husbands or they're not very good fathers. And so because of that fear, or because of that feeling of inadequacy, we choose to not become great at that, not to embrace the anointing that God has placed on our lives as Christian men to become kings of our homes, kings of our communities, kings of our finances, whatever it might be. So here's what I would implore you to do. As you read chapter 29, understand it in this context. You have an anointing on your life. God has anointed you in your mother's womb to be a great man of God. He's anointed you to do three things: to love God, to love others, and to tell everybody about that love. And that love that we've been anointed to carry out happens in our marriages. It happens with our kids and our grandkids. It happens in our communities and our churches. It happens with our leaders. It happens with our government. We have to embrace the anointing and not find comfort in the things that we feel that we're only good at, because God sees greatness inside of us. So grab hold of the anointing that God has placed on your life, because He has anointed you to do great things. Don't be satisfied with mediocre. Don't be satisfied with retreat. Embrace the anointing. Well, I hope that you are doing fantastic in this study. I know everybody's working hard. I'm hearing some great things about where everybody's at. So continue to press on towards becoming a faithful man of God.